If you were in Jim's class this morning, we'll call that day six for our class here. He said a lot of good things. I said Jim, didn't I? Jim, yeah, Jim Paul. Said a lot of good things that were touched on all of what our class is about and brought out the different aspects that I really won't be covering. There's so many things to cover when you talk about pain and suffering and loss and difficulties in life and many different aspects and ways to handle it, to deal with it, and what you do with it. And our first two sessions were talking about just how we often react to those things which happen in our lives, which come our way, which we don't like. And thinking about good reactions and bad reactions and how we react to ourselves and how we react to other people. And yesterday we were talking about reasons why there is pain and suffering in this life. It's time by day three that we start talking about what to do about it, not just to complain about it or just to recognize it, just to think about what we how we do react, but to think of what we can do about it. And so first thing that came to my mind in preparing the class was the theme of the camp, which is on prayer. And certainly prayer is a very important aspect in our reaction to pain and suffering and loss. And so we want to think about that this morning, and not think about prayer in general, but thinking more specifically about prayer when we are experiencing difficulties in life. And what happened? There it is. The first thing that I want to talk about, and we'll read some scriptures on it, is honest prayer. As in contrast to beautiful prayer. As in contrast to pray like we good person ought to pray. You might have a more beautiful prayer when if you're called upon to pray in public. Our prayer is to be edifying to one another, whatever it might be on that. When we get off by ourselves and talk to God, we don't do ourselves any favors if we try to ignore how we really feel when we talk to God. Because guess what? God knows. And if we come to Him as if we're doing okay and as if we're handling the problem and everything when we're really not, that kind of prayer doesn't amount to anything as far as I'm concerned. And so let's look in the Bible at some examples of prayer. And we've been talking about Job, and we will look at Job here. First of all, the 10th chapter, the first 9 verses. And we'll start with Jim this time, in this row, and then come around the other side of that table. Go ahead.
I loathe my very life, therefore I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me, but tell me what charges you have against me. Does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands, while you smile on the schemes of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as mortal sees? Are your days like those of a mortal, or your years like those of a man, that you must search out my faults and probe after my sin, though you know that I am not guilty and that no one can rescue me from your hand? Your hand shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again?
That's a pretty bold word. I'm not sure that any of us would dare to say to God some of the things that Job says here. There are some things that Job did not have and Job did not understand, which we're going to talk about another day. But having said all of that, we emphasized on the first day that Job was a righteous man, blameless before God, that he was a good man, that he's upheld in Scripture as being one of the most holy men that existed. And so we keep that in mind as we see how bold he was. It's interesting, in verse 8, he's complaining, but he's recognizing in verse 8 that God is his creator. That you're the one that made me, God. And I recognize that. So he's not cursing God, reviling God. He recognizes God as his creator. But you made me, God. Why are you treating me this way with what's going on in my life? And of course, we know that he didn't know that he was a pawn, as we talked about yesterday. And let's turn to chapter 13 and verse 15.
Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face.
Okay, that sounds like quite a contradiction, doesn't it? And those first two lines in verse 15 are some of the most amazing statements that Job makes. In the midst of all of his complaining to God, all of his suffering and not figuring out what's going on, though he slay me, I will hope in him. So God, you give me double of what the pain and the suffering and loss and everything that I'm going through, I'm still going to hope in you. So again, Job was not reviling God. But he says, you know, you can kill me and I'll still hope in you. Nevertheless, as it says in my version, I will argue my ways before him. So he's struggling, recognizing who God is. And God's in control. God's his creator. He's in God's hands. But still he's going to talk to God what he's feeling. Let's turn to the Psalms. And that's chapter 6, the first 7 verses of the next person.
O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but ye, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies.
I'm weary, Lord. How long, in verse 3? How long is this going to be, Lord? Until you help me. Until you answer my prayer. Until you get me out of this. How long am I going to have to go on? There are lots of pains, just think of pain specifically, that we can stand for a moment. I know sometimes, you know, I broke my arm and was getting therapy because of the limitation, which is still there, and the pain, which is pretty well gone now. But I would just reach out sometimes and just, when I'm not in the reaching, but bringing my hand back, it was, oh! And They always ask you from 1 to 10. Well, maybe I'd call it a 6. But if it continued... I forgot I got a therapist here in the class. She's not the only one that asked me that. They're supposed to ask you. Okay. But I say a 6. But I tell you, sometimes if those pains had continued on, I'd put them at a 10.
Sure.
You know. So short term can be very different from long term. There are a lot of things we can stand for a little while. Even hunger, right? So, how long, O Lord, is this going to go on anyway? Psalm 74. Verses 19-23, the next person.
Wild beasts, do not forget the lives of their afflicted people forever. Have regard for your covenant, because the taunts of violence fill the dark places of the land. Do not let the oppressed retreat in disgrace. May the poor and needy praise your name. Rise up, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how fools mock you all day. Do not ignore the clamor of your adversaries, the uproar of your enemies, which rises continually.
Do arise, O God, and 88:14-18. The next one. Go around the, well, back there with Jesse's wife.
Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors, I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They come around me all day long like water. They engulf me all together. Loved one and friend you have put far from me. And my acquaintances into darkness.
I'm thinking of a lot of good things that Brother Jim had to say in class this morning, and bringing out the example of Paul and Silas in prison, and they were singing. You know, they were bleeding, and yet they were singing. I don't know how many of us would do that. It's certainly something for us to think about and to do an attitude check. But I'm sure there are times that we don't feel like that at all. Actually, in James, it even says if anyone is happy, let him sing songs. But honestly, like he talks about here, I suffer your terrors, your burning anger has passed over me. You have removed lover and friend far from me. And I'm not saying that we have to stay in that situation. I'm not saying that that's the best situation or the right situation. But if that's how we feel, let's not make a nice prayer ignoring how we feel and pretend that we actually feel some other way. Just,
I wondered what would happen to Job and David and some of the ones that were reading if they were in the church today. And then, to change the question, I wondered what would happen to the church if they had Job and David. Because I think sometimes our glass walls that we build up would come crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like what you're saying, praying a pretty prayer, sometimes we need to be honest. And sometimes we need to, because there are people that don't have the boldness to and the courage to admit where they're at, that need to hear they're not the only ones that are suffering.
Yeah.
But some of us are too wrapped up in our pretense to let everybody else know that we're going through that.
Yeah, quit talking about me, please. Yeah, that's true. And that's one thing that in another class we're going to dwell on that more, is that a lot of what we're reading here is Old Testament, and they didn't have what we have today. So that's something very good to keep in mind. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19. And I'm just going to read the latter part of verse 4. It is enough now, O Lord, take my life. He was ready to die. This is the man who just not very long ago was up on Mount Carmel and had a tremendous victory up there on Mount Carmel. But now, instead of the queen being converted by what happened on Mount Carmel, she wants to kill him, and he's done. And so he tells the Lord how he feels about it. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. We all know, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Says, if it is possible, he said. Did Jesus know it was not possible?
Yes.
Jesus came into the world to die for us. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus told his apostles over and again that he was going to die. We're going up to Jerusalem. And I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be tried, and I'm going to be killed. And the Old Testament tells of his death for the forgiveness of our sins. The gospel is Jesus died to take away our sins according to Scripture. Isaiah 53 being a chief one there. I would say that Jesus knew perfectly well that it wasn't possible. But being in the flesh, he spoke to God what he felt. And of course, we all know he added, but not my will, but your will be done.
I still do that. I know there's no way, but I try to find a way anyway.
Yeah.
I can pray the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know for a fact there's no way it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's not really God's will for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you still beat your head against the most front because it's painful going through what you're going through. And
yeah.
You don't want to go through what you're going through, but God has his will in place and it's not going to change.
Yeah. And combining what we're saying here and what Justin has well pointed out, being honest with God, but a lot of that honesty needs to be confession, doesn't it? Yeah, this is the way I'm feeling, Father. Help me out of it. I'm sorry. Forgive me for feeling this way, for having this kind of attitude. Get me out of it, Father. You sent Jesus for me, etc., etc., etc. So I'm not just saying that we complain to God and we leave it at that, but that we be honest where we are and then ask God to get us on beyond that to where we ought to be. Let's turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter. I assume and I hope that this is a favorite verse of many of you, favorite verses. Let's read them from 4 to 7, the next person.
Rejoice in the Lord always, again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay. There's a lot there. I mean, the whole hour could be spent just on those verses, but we're zeroing in on be anxious for nothing. If you're never anxious, hold up your hand. Be anxious for just a few things. Be anxious for nothing. Well, how are you supposed to accomplish that according to the verse? Pray. Make your requests. Excuse me. Make your requests made known to God is the way we're supposed to handle that. And so I'm sure that we do that. Take your burdens to the Lord. And what? Leave them there. It's easy to take our burdens to the Lord. The hard part is leaving them there. And I suppose that most of you, like me, we take our burdens to the Lord and we bring them back. Yeah, and tomorrow we take them to the Lord and then we bring them back. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And this brings up the issue of anxiety and worry. And if you notice on the paper, I have another word after that. What's that?
Fear.
Anxiety and worry is a type of fear. We're afraid for the future. Now, let's be honest as we talk about anxiety. I don't think that as human beings that any of us are going to rid our lives of anxiety. It's a matter of controlling it. It's a matter of degree. It's a matter of the situation. If my wife was supposed to be home at 5 o'clock, and now it's 6 o'clock and she's not home yet, and no cell phones yet. Today you just buzz her phone and that's it. Oh, she comes home tonight, all right. She didn't come home tonight, all right. Life goes on. Who in the world would react like that? Who in the world would react like that? I mean, of course you're going to be concerned.
One of my struggles, and I know you can help with it, Mark, but please do, is anxiety and worrying about it is what motivates me.
Is what?
Motivates me to do something. I tend to relax too much. Mm-hmm. And nothing gets done.
Yeah. Okay. That's an important point.
What's the balance? Yeah. What's the balance of being having concern and still not letting it worry? I either worry too much and I don't give it to God, or I give it to God and then I almost forget about it, and then the problem multiplies because I don't actually take care of it.
Yeah. So there's a difference between worrying and doing something. Jesus tells us, we're well acquainted with it, not to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink. Okay. So I don't have a job? Well, no problem. I'll read the newspaper and listen to the radio and enjoy myself. And no, you work to get a job. You even, I think most of you, go to the grocery store to buy groceries, right? You don't just let the house be empty. I mean, if you don't have the money, that's, we're not talking about somebody who doesn't have the money, but just no food in the house and nobody's going to buy any and don't worry about it. No, I mean, of course I'm talking the extreme, but the point is that to make plans to do something constructive is different from just sitting there and worrying, which is not productive, it's actually destructive. And so when we can do something, and you may have a plan, you know, like I talked about, my wife doesn't come home an hour late, and she doesn't have a cell phone, I gotta get a hold of her. I may have a plan that I'm going to wait till such and such a time, whatever, depending on the circumstances. You know, it depends on where I knew she went and everything. You know, I know she went to a friend's house, and undoubtedly they're just talking and talking and talking, you know. At such an hour, I'm going to call these people, or, you know, after a certain hour, I'm going to call the police or whatever. You know, you make a plan rather than just sit there and be frustrated and worry. And certainly in our lives in regard to many things, but there are a lot of things. Can you plan for North Korea dropping nitrogen bombs on the United States of America? Can you plan for Iran beginning the Third World War? But listening to the evening news is very good for setting off worries, isn't it? Worries of things that we can't do anything about. And someone has said that 9/10 of the things you worry about never happen, you know. So worry is destructive. It's not constructive. And we need to do what's constructive. We're told in 1 Peter 5:7, we won't turn there, that we're to cast all of our cares upon Him. And I'm sure you're acquainted with that, and it goes along with what Philippians says here. But let's go to Proverbs 12:25, which may not be as well known. The next person, 12:25 plus 13:12.
An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And 13:12 is, hope deferred makes a heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life.
Okay. Here's Solomon, 1,000 years before Jesus, who's giving us some good heart medicine. And something that psychiatrists and physicians are aware of today. As it says in my version, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down. And that's true. You can ruin your health. I mean, you may get high blood pressure because of it. You may get ulcers because of it. I mean, the medical profession knows that it actually affects our well-being when we allow it to take over. And hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And where's the one? I don't have that down here. The one that happiness is good medicine, something like that it says in one of the Proverbs. Anybody remember that more exactly? A joyful heart is good medicine. Yeah. And Even the world recognizes that. They've got, in a number of different places, have clowns go around to hospitals, to people who are in sick beds, because getting the patients to laugh is actually good medicine, as the scripture says. So we want to think about worry in terms of the fact that it's not productive and it destroys ourselves. And so we need to take it to the Lord and leave it there. If you get concerned because of the Third World War, or I hate to say it, but nowadays, you get concerned about your kids in school. The police departments and school administrators are doing a number of things about it. But you worrying about your kids in school, that's not going to solve a thing, is it? Not going to help at all. Take it to the Lord. And leave it there. Another aspect that we want to think of in prayer is what Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." We've talked quite a bit about Job. Let's go to Job 40. First 8 verses, the next person. And notice there's a change of who's speaking here a couple of times.
"Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it.' Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further.' Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified?'"
That last half of that last verse, "Will you condemn me that you may be justified?" Job changes his tune here when God actually speaks to him. "I am insignificant, I lay my hand on my mouth." And of course, God speaks to us in many ways through His Scripture, which will help us not to go to some of the extremes, perhaps, that Job went to. But the point is here that God's in control. And Job did recognize that. We noticed that in some of the things that Job had to say. But now it's really getting impressed upon him that God is the one in control. As we spoke of yesterday with Peter, when Jesus told him that he was going to be wrapped up with some kind of belt or whatever, and he was going to die an untimely death, and he asked about John. Remember, we talked about that yesterday. What's that to you? You follow me. So, when we pray, we do have to pray as Jesus said. He was honest with God how he was feeling. He wanted to get out of it, but he knew he couldn't. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And it seems here that Job comes more to that feeling. I mean, he had that feeling somewhat expressed before, but he becomes more to that, that he's in God's hand. And whatever you want with me, God, that's what it's going to be. And let's go back to Calvary. Gethsemane. Let's not belittle. Not my will, but your will be done. And God's will for you and for me was that his son was going to suffer. Some of you have turned to that next text, and without us reading the whole thing, anybody who's read it, what did God do?
Son of Eve.
sent an angel to comfort him. Isn't that amazing? This is the Son of God. This is the Creator of the world. And an angel is sent to comfort him. But the answer is still that he's got to go to the cross. He gets comfort. I doubt if there's anybody in here who was agonized in prayer as Jesus did. He sweat, as it were, drops of blood. He didn't sweat blood, by the way. Some people think blood. No, it's his sweat was dropping like drops of blood, is what the scripture says. I doubt if any of us has sweated that much. You might have sweated that much exercising or having to work out in the sun or something. But in prayer, I doubt that anybody has agonized in prayer that much as Jesus agonized. In the end, he gave himself to God's will. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And if it is the Lord's decision that we continue on in that pain or that suffering or that loss, leave it there and let God's will be done and submit to that will. Prayer can be bad. I'm sure most of you are acquainted with this in James 4, but let's turn to it. The next person, 1 to 4.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires to battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and cover and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
Okay. Unanswered prayer. And what's the problem? It's what I want for me now. Please, God. How many times do we wish for other people what we pray for ourselves? Ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasures. It's in one of the Psalms that it says that God is going to give you the delights of your heart, going to give you the desires of your heart. But the first part of the verse is, delight yourself in the Lord. And what's going to happen if you delight yourself in the Lord? Your desires are going to change. And let's admit that so many of our prayers are like babies. Babies are selfish. If the baby is hungry, it'll let you know. Got dirty pants, it'll let you know. If it's hurting, it'll let you know. And so sometimes our relationship with God is as if God were a Santa Claus and just to give us whatever we want and make life smooth and nice and easy and all of that. We have to keep God's will in mind. And the end of the chapter there, we won't read it now, but the end of the chapter, that's what it's talking about, is don't say tomorrow we're going to do this or that, but say rather if the Lord will. And so as we pray to God, we want to be honest with God about how we're feeling now. And if we realize how we're feeling is not how we should be feeling, then confess it to God and ask God to help us, for His Holy Spirit to help us, to change our attitude, and strive to leave it there. And that's hard. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. That's what it tells us in other words there in Philippians. Cast all your anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So give it all to Him and be willing to accept His will. Not your will, not my will, but His will in our lives. So these are just some of the things that came to my mind in terms of prayer helping us when we're in trouble. Someone has said that a lot of people won't look up unless they're pushed flat on their back. They talk about foxhole prayers, right? Guys that didn't even believe in God, but they're in a foxhole, and you don't even have foxholes anymore in the kind of warfare we got going on now. But anyway, in deep distress, calling on to God. We need to call on to God all the time. And of course, we're zeroing in here on when we are in need, when we are in pain, when we are suffering, when we have loss, to turn to God. But we should be turning to God all the time, as well as in the times that we're feeling down. Because what happens sometimes, I don't feel like praying. I'm so depressed, I don't feel like praying. I'm so depressed, I want to go to church. I'm so depressed, I don't feel like opening the Bible. That's when we need to go to God. Okay, we'll take a few moments here, and you fill in your spaces with some things that come to your mind that I haven't mentioned. Perhaps things that have specifically been a help to you when you've been in suffering and pain. In terms of prayer, basically, we're thinking in terms of prayer. That have helped you, jot them down, and I'll give you a few minutes and then we'll share what's on your papers. Another minute or so. Thank you. Okay, if you have a scripture you want to share or something that's helped you or something that you think might help other people, whatever it is, and please speak up so everybody can hear you and so I can hear you. Who's first? Yes.
I do a lot of writing. I like to write out my prayers because then I can sort of reflect on them. It helps me to sometimes process what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. When we're suffering, you know, sometimes we're just overwhelmed by all kinds of feelings. You know, and it helps to, for me, it helps to take it to God that way.
Okay.
And then other times I'm also, so I try to do alternative things, and I try to pray actually through scripture. You know, when I don't have words of my own. And then I will pray on the phone with friends.
Okay. All right, good thoughts. The first thing that you mentioned there, some people call that journaling. And some people like to do that. Some people like me don't like to do it. I do make lists many times. I do make notes of somebody to pray for at times. I do that. But to write out my prayers or write out what's bothering me right now, I don't go for that. But some people do. And if it's helpful, why, that's great. Do it.
Yeah, just to be honest, mine goes right along with that. Just when I pray, it focuses my brain on God's will.
Okay.
It's my wife talks about going to the psychologist with her because she struggles with anxiety and OCD, overthinking, and everything. And she doesn't always think correctly. And sometimes just talking it out. Helps you to refocus in spiritual ways. The first person we need to talk to is God. We need to focus our mind on spiritual things and what does God want for my life through this? What am I doing? And sometimes I come out of a prayer relaxed, and then I meditate after the prayer a little bit and think about it. And what am I doing wrong? Whether I'm mad at my kids, or my wife and I have just had an argument, and is my mindset what you want it to be? Have I actually done the wrong, or is it my wife? You know, and then you come back and you say, I am sorry, I should not have talked to you that way. I am sorry, I should have paid attention to what I was doing so I didn't hurt you in that way. Or whatever it is, and it changes my whole mindset to what's truly important. Because we have our own concept and our own worries and what we think is important in the moment. But we gain true understanding when we actually focus on what we have already learned that God wants of us.
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned you come out of prayer relaxed.
More so, usually. The frustration.
Does that bring any verse to your mind?
Yeah. Your cares upon him.
What's that?
Casting your cares upon him.
Okay. I'm thinking of another one.
He's a God that surpasses understanding.
Okay.
Guard your hearts and minds.
Yeah. And what's that verse? What's the verse before that?
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication.
There it is. Prayer, give it to God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will protect you. Carolyn?
In Philippians 4, those verses that you read, my favorite actually comes after that. Well, I have a problem with when I get anxious, or and mine can lead to depression. So I have to really work on changing. You know, some place where it talks about renewing your mind. And for me, when you talked about motives, Philippians 4, 8 and 9 actually are what worked for me. Reading something positive in God's Word and thinking about the positive things.
Okay.
Focusing on those helped me a lot more. And then when I pray, it's a little bit, it's less focused on myself, on the selfish things.
Okay, Carolyn. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm done.
Okay. Because I was going to say that Carolyn just introduced us to tomorrow's class.
Oh.
No, that's good. That's verse 8 there. On purpose, I didn't have us read that today. And we're going into it tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about meditation. And so we'll get into that tomorrow. So that's good. That's good. Yes?
For me, because I have anxiety disorder and OCD too, so sometimes praying just once doesn't do anything. Maybe it helps temporarily. Mm-hmm. But I find that some days I'm praying all day, constantly praying, you know, and to just to get me from moment to moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just praying all the time just is something that is helpful too.
Yeah. And that brings to mind a woman that Jesus talked about, an imaginary woman. It goes along with that. She kept pestering
the judge.
Yeah. The bad judge.
Yeah.
She kept pestering him. And so Jesus said we ought always to pray. And so it's nice to say take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But as you say, and maybe more so with those of us who have OCD, but maybe with everybody, I don't know. Just taking the Lord once, it's not going to be left there. We take it again. And again, and again, and we struggle to leave it there. But Jesus says, keep on praying, keep on praying. He didn't say, you prayed that enough? That's I've got to request. I've got it on my list of to-do things. No, he said, just keep on praying.
And then it's helped me as well now that I've thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, along with what Rose and her talk about, mm-hmm. is what helps Rose is, not just generalizing prayer,
mm-hmm.
but she pours her heart out both to in prayer and with her psychologist, mm-hmm. in detail,
mm-hmm.
goes through it and lays it out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Completely, and looks at it openly,
mm-hmm.
and tries to confront it, and then she can come at it with a purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gets open. Rid of some of the anxiety,
mm-hmm.
not completely, but I mean, it helps a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
When she has a means of confronting the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to bring up something that hasn't been mentioned really, and it's in the verse that we've been talking about quite a bit in Philippians, something that we haven't mentioned, but I want to mention it now. Where it talks about casting all our cares on Him. What haven't we mentioned in there yet? What's that?
Thanksgiving.
It says with giving of thanks. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, count your blessings, name them one by one. I'm going to combine this with something that we talked about the first day. You've all heard the expression, thank God it wasn't worse. Who should we tell that to?
Ourselves.
Don't ever tell that to somebody else. I mean, we're in a class, yeah, we discuss that idea when we're in a class, but that's not something that you tell somebody else. That's something you tell yourself. And mean it. And work on it. And think of the many blessings, the many things that God has done for you, the many things that God is now doing for you. Somebody has suggested that the number of times that you make a request to God for something, let's say you ask Him 10 times, then that's how many times you should give Him thanks when He answers. But you know what we do. We ask 50 times and we thank Him once and we think that's it. With thanksgiving. Well, there's a class going on about thanksgiving. Unthankfulness is a sin. Unthankfulness is a sin. In Romans 1, it's talking about all the people who rebelled against God and turned against God and everything. And one of the main characteristics that it mentions in there is unthankful.
It doesn't give thanks.
Yeah. I've had the experience of telling somebody, beautiful day. Finally.
Yeah, but.
It's a beautiful day so far. Thankfulness. I mean, of course, people of the world, they don't even give thanks for their food, right? Your dog doesn't either, right?
I mean,
a basic characteristic of a Christian is thankfulness, and it's in that verse. Cast all your cares upon Him. Well, that's the Peter. How is it in Philippians? It doesn't say cast all your cares, does it? Isn't that the Peter passage? How is it in Philippians? Make your request made known to God, I think is the way it is. I'm not looking at it right now. With thanksgiving. So, whatever's happening, we can tell ourselves it could be worse. And mean it. And appreciate what God has done for us.
Something I was thinking too. One of the blessings of being older, having gotten older, is that I can look back, and that helps me with this now, is I can look back and see the things that God's answered in my past that at the time I didn't think were possible to get through.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's something to give thanks for, absolutely. I want to mention one other thing. You mentioned journaling as helping you to focus, and Joy was talking about something to help him to focus. It wasn't journaling, it was, I forget what it was.
Just looking at the problem, whether writing it down or mentally verbalizing the problem.
Yeah, okay. I want to mention one thing that I think is very helpful, and it depends on your living situation whether you can do it or not, and that's praying out loud. Praying out loud helps me because it helps me to distinguish between when I'm praying and when my mind is wandering. Is there anybody here who can pray without their mind wandering? In fact, as was mentioned last night, we can pray and go to sleep praying. Well, I guess it's better to go to sleep praying than go to sleep without praying.
Yeah.
But to me, speaking out loud to God helps me to keep focused. And if my mind goes off on something else, then I realize it went off and get myself back to praying to God. And so I help to keep focused in what I'm doing. So, as we mentioned, tomorrow we'll be talking about meditating. And so, since you know ahead of time tomorrow's topic, why, maybe you can meditate on what meditation is and how that helps us. Jesse, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear God, we thank you for the promises we have in your word, and help us, Father, to understand it and to trust in you and to trust in your word and seek reminders and that will build our faith in you so that when we pray we believe and we leave it there and the best of our ability and that we can have that peace. God, help us to thank you many times over for what you give us and how you pull us through and give you the glory. Help us, God, to be like the one leper coming back and not to forget. We praise you, God, for your mercy. We praise you, God, for Jesus. We thank you, God, for everybody here. And we pray, God, for continued good things from your word, and may your Holy Spirit work continually as we're all together. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.